book of Philippians in chapter number 3, just for a few moments this morning. Many of you know I've been going through Philippians. We started before we actually started meeting back for the services, and I've covered chapters 1 and 2. They're on recording. If you haven't listened to them, they're on our sermon audio. You can listen to those there. But I thought what I was going to do for chapters 3 and 4 is to stop recording the sermons behind the scenes and to maybe bring those up for an exhortation. And we're just going to exhort our way through the rest of Philippians. So we're going to section out these in just a few moments, and we're going to cover chapters 3 and 4 during our time of exhortation. So let's pick it up today in chapter 3, and we're covering verses 1 through 3. Verses 1 through 3. Last week, it actually kind of ties in. I talked about John 6, and I named that little exhortation the failing faith of false disciples. The failing faith of false disciples. Now this week, and get this, 5 features of faithful followers. I'm on a roll. 5 features of faithful followers. In contrast to false disciples, we have faithful followers. And here's 5 features of them here. Features or traits or characteristics or qualities of true Christians. So look at the text with me in Philippians 3, 1 through 3. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you is no trouble for me, and it is safe for you. Look out for the dogs. Look out for the evildoers. Look out for those who mutilate the flesh. For we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. 5 features of faithful followers. Characteristics, traits, qualities. Since faith is a gift from God and it is produced in God's elect by the power of the Holy Spirit, what is the evidence that it is there? What's the evidence of it? What are true observable signs that this is you if you claim to be a follower? Number 1, faithful followers rejoice in the Lord. Faithful followers rejoice in the Lord. Look at verse 1. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. He says finally, or furthermore, or so then. This is a word of transition, not conclusion. He's transitioning into a new section, and he says, my brothers, true believers, is who he's talking to. True believers are commanded here to rejoice. Rejoicing is not an option. It's a command for a Christian. This is the theme of Philippians. Rejoice is found all over Philippians. You know, there's plenty of reason in the world today in which we have to be sad, distressed, disturbed, upset, concerned, anxious, stressed out, full of fear and doubt, but not for the Christian. We have reason to rejoice, and we are commanded to rejoice all the time. Rejoice always. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone, he says later. And that's not an isolated command, by the way, here. It is mentioned 17 times in these 4 chapters. Joy or rejoicing is mentioned all throughout this book. And the funny thing about that is Paul is sitting in prison right now. And he's talking about joy 17 times. That tells us something about joy. It's unrelated to circumstances. True, deep down joy is not related to circumstances. Happiness is. Buy a new car, I'm happy. On the way home, I hit a buck and total the car, and I'm unhappy all of a sudden. Happiness is dependent upon circumstances, shifting circumstances. Joy goes much, much deeper. While happiness is based on them, joy has nothing to do with them. True rejoicing is a deep down settled satisfaction in and contentment through Jesus Christ. It is a deep down settled peace and satisfaction in and a contentment through Jesus Christ. It's the happiness of the soul, if you will. And he connects rejoicing here to a relationship. Notice what he says, rejoice in the Lord. That's the only way that you can rejoice is in the sphere, in the context of being the Lord's. The world has no reason to rejoice. Job even says that the rejoicing of the wicked is but a moment. It doesn't last. Rejoicing of believers lasts from now on into eternity. Amen. Number 2, faithful followers exercise discernment. Faithful followers exercise discernment. This is a package deal, by the way. You can't have 1 feature, 2 features, 3. The whole full 5 features go together. You exercise discernment. Notice the second half of verse 1. To write the same things to you is no trouble to me, and it is safe for you. Look out for dogs, evildoers, those who mutilate the flesh. He says here, it's no trouble for me. In other words, to help you, to remind you to understand something. That's why I've been left alive. It's no trouble for me to write these things to you, Paul says. And notice, it is safe for you. It is safe for you. Paying attention to divine revelation, reading and studying your Bible, will provide a safeguard for believers. You have to know the Word to protect yourself from the influences of the world. Proverbs 2, 11 and 12 says, "Discretion will watch over you. Understanding will guard you." Understanding guards the believer. "Delivering you from the way of evil, from men of perverted speech. Wisdom from the Word of God will shield you, it'll guard you, it'll protect you from the way of evil men." Men of perverted speech, it's a guard, it's a shield. It goes before you, it surrounds you, it helps to provide discernment, and the Christian is called to judge. We must judge. He says here, "Look out for dogs, for evildoers." This is to look out for, is to be constantly, continually on guard all the time, to be alert, nonstop, exercising right judgment at all times and all ways for false teachers. The Christian must be on the lookout for false doctrine, for false teachers, for those who would muddy up the gospel of the Lord Jesus. He says, look out for dogs, unclean, filthy, dangerous, care nothing for you. These are false teachers. He calls them dogs. And this is an assault to them in this day. Dogs weren't like they are today. In this day, they were mongrels. They were angry, ravenous, almost like wolves. And to call them this is to say they're unclean, they're filthy, they're dangerous. They don't care for your soul. They just want to propagate their false teaching. And you need to be on the lookout for them. And the way to do that is to know your Bible. You don't have to study the error, you just need to know the truth. And when you know the truth, the error will make itself known in light of the discretion that's built in into the heart after you study. External, ritualistic, ceremonial, religions covering up a wicked heart. These are these false teachers, and they add, listen, works to salvation. Any gospel that is not like Paul said that he preached to us, a gospel of works added to faith, is a false gospel. Evidence of that is here where he says, those who mutilate the flesh. Literally, the false circumcision. It's those who would say that you must be circumcised in order to add that to your faith in Jesus to be saved. They're adding something to faith, and it's circumcision. The false circumcision, as it were. Jewish legalists who deny grace alone, they deny faith alone, and they deny Christ alone. They add this work to faith. And 2 Timothy 3:5 says, avoid these men. Stay away from them. Don't go near them. And like I said, the Christian is supposed to judge. We hear oftentimes, not to judge, lest you be judged. Not like what Paul Washer says, don't twist Scripture, lest you be like the devil. That's not what that verse means. We are to exercise the right kind of judgment. Jesus says in John 7:24, to judge with right judgment. Judge with righteous judgment. 1 Corinthians 2:15, the spiritual person, he judges all things. He appraises all things. He discerns all things. He doesn't have an open mind. He keeps the door of his mind closed, and he looks through the peephole, and he sees who's coming in and who's coming out, and he discerns what comes into his mind. Hebrews 5:14, the mature have their powers of discernment trained by a constant, continual practice to distinguish good from evil. This is discernment. You're called to have it if you're a believer. Number three, faithful followers worship by the Spirit of God. Faithful followers, Christians, worship God. All Christians worship. This is who the Father is seeking, he says in John 4. Notice verse 3. Paul says, in contrast, for we are the circumcision. We're the true circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God. Listen to Romans 2:28 and 29. For no one is a Jew who's merely one outwardly, nor is circumcision outward and physical. But listen, a Jew is one inwardly, and circumcision is a matter of the heart, by the Spirit, not by the letter. True circumcision is to be circumcised and changed and cut and renewed on the inside. It's a heart transformation that happens. This is what makes up a true believer. It's one who's been given a new heart, and who then, because of his new heart, he worships by the Spirit of God. He worships. It's a lifestyle pattern. Listen to this definition of worship. Worship is where the mind, understanding the truth, activates the emotions in praise and adoration and love towards God, and is then motivated to present the entire life in sacrificial service to God. It's seeing the glory of God, emotionally being raised up to praise and exalt Him, and because you're so stirred up about God, you order your life around God. That's worship. It doesn't just happen sitting here singing a hymn.
Amen.
Worship is a daily pattern of life because you see the glory of Jesus Christ. And your life is ordered around Him. That is true worship. Jesus said, in spirit and in truth. John chapter 4. True worship takes place in the heart, not in a sacred location. It takes place in the heart, no matter where you are, if you're a true believer. This adoration of God who is and what He has done spills over into every area of life. It even comes out when you eat and drink. You do it to the glory of God as a true believer. The question is not whether you will worship, but who will you worship?
Amen.
Because everybody is a worshiper. Listen, if you're here today, you worship something. You get your satisfaction in something and you order your life around that to get that benefit. The Christian does it around God through the gospel.
Amen.
True Christians worship. Number 4, faithful followers glory in Christ Jesus. Love this one. Oh, I love the last one. I love this one. We glory in Christ Jesus. Look at this. Verse 3 at the end. They glory in Christ Jesus. To glory is to boast with exultant joy about a person, about what a person is most proud of. It's to boast joyfully about what you're the most proud of. It's to relish. It's to enjoy. It's to love. It's to bask in the light of Jesus Christ. This is only true if salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone, because that's when He gets all the credit. Listen, if you add works to salvation, you have room to boast, and you are not glorying in Christ Jesus, you're glorying in yourself and in your achievement. That is not what a Christian does. He gets all the credit. This is why it's in Christ alone. This is why salvation is by grace. A wrong view of Christ and a wrong view of His finished work robs Him of His glory. If salvation is not by grace through faith, based upon the perfect work of God Himself in the flesh, then He is robbed of His glory, and He will have none of it. 1 Corinthians 15:10, by the grace of God I am what I am. Ephesians 2, by grace you've been saved through faith, not of works, so that no one may boast. We can't take any credit. We boast in Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians 1:31, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. And according to 2 Corinthians 11:18, false believers, they boast according to the flesh. We don't do that. We glory in Christ and in His person and in His work. Far be it from me, Paul says, to boast except in the cross of Jesus Christ,
Amen.
By which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Listen, for neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything but a new creation.
Amen.
True Christians have been recreated on the inside, and they see Jesus for how He is and who He is and for what He's done. Number 5, and finally, faithful followers, they put no confidence in the flesh. The end of chapter 3. They put no confidence in the flesh. So in light of all of these things above, therefore, if all of these are true, you will not put any confidence in the flesh. True believers who are regenerate put no confidence in the flesh. That is in their fallen, unredeemed humanness. That is in their human ability apart from God. That's the flesh. We put no trust, no confidence, no faith in our ability apart from God. That's what confidence means. It comes from the Latin. Con means with. Fidence is the word for faith. Confidence is with faith. We put no faith, no trust, no confidence in ourself. We put it all in Christ Jesus as Lord. Because Jesus said, the Spirit gives life and the flesh profits nothing, John 6:63. Romans 8:4, we don't walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Because verse 8, those who are in the flesh, listen, cannot please God. Cannot please God. Self-effort, works-based righteousness, human achievement, they must all be abandoned, and true faith must be placed in Christ and in Him alone, so that you can glory in Christ Jesus, enabling you to become a true worshiper, so that you can develop biblical discernment and be one who is constantly and continually rejoicing in the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for this time. And Lord, thank you for these descriptions of a true believer, Lord. Thank you for this work that you do by your grace inside of your beloved children. Lord, thank you for this. Thank you for our view of Christ. Thank you for our ability to understand your word. Lord, I pray that that discernment would grow, our rejoicing would grow, and that we would see Christ for who he is and how he is, Lord, and that we would bask in his glory. Lord, help us, Lord, to do nothing by the power of the flesh, but to walk by your Spirit, to trust in you, to rely upon you. And Lord, that'll give us motivation to live, to worship, because you're worthy. Lord, thank you for this, Lord. Bless our service today. In Jesus' name, amen.